Let's turn in our booklets, okay? Okay, we're going to look at a pure heart this morning. That would be almost in the middle of the... Oh, turn to the middle of the page, the book, and then turn back a page. And I hope that everybody on the previous page changes 1 Samuel to 2 Samuel, because 20 years from now, if anybody ever gets hold of this book, they'll say, what in the world is Brother Kenny? He doesn't know what he's talking about here. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 24 and Psalm 27. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Our vision of God is often clouded by the condition of our heart. You know, some people, they see God as an angry God all the time, always looking to punish them. And then there are others that see God as a God that is so merciful that they can really do anything they want to, and it doesn't matter because God loves them and forgives them, and they'll get to heaven. We have all our different impressions of God based on the condition of our heart. And we can't see him as he truly is until he purifies our hearts. My friend, someone was telling him their understanding of God, and he said, oh, you worship Mr. Potato Head. Remember that toy? Did you ever have that as growing up? It looked like a plastic potato, baked potato. And then you had all different eyes you can put in, all different noses you could put on, mustaches, mouths, happy mouths, sad mouths, angry mouths. And you made Mr. Potato Head however you wanted him to be. And that's what a lot of people do with God. They make him whatever they want him to be. If I want to live a sinful life, then I believe that God is forgiving and loving. And, you know, and if whatever, we're not supposed to make God what we want him to be. We're supposed to worship him as he is in truth. And we can never really know that until we allow him to purify our hearts. Pure in heart means to have a single focus. When something's pure, it means that it's not mixed with other ingredients or alloys. Pure gold. Sometimes people will sell you something as pure gold, and you find out it's not pure. Sometimes it's painted gold. You can have pure anything. You can have pure gold. You can have pure water. You can have pure mud, I guess. It just means that it's one. It's just this one substance through and through. And it talks about single focus. My interests aren't scattered all over the place. I have one focus, one main focus that I give myself to. It speaks about sincerity, right? You're not coming with ulterior motives, but your heart is pure. You're sincere. And it also speaks of cleansing and moral purity. When our hearts are pure, there's a cleansing that takes place as well. And so when Jesus talked about being pure in heart, he wanted us to be a people of one thing. He wanted us to be humble and sincere in our attitude toward God, and pure in the sense of clean. It says here, the invitation to draw near to God in the Bible often includes an admonition to purity and cleansing. And I think you'll notice that whenever it tells us to draw near to God, it admonishes us to cleanse our hearts, cleanse our hands. Your hand speaks of your outward behavior, conduct. Heart speaks of that inner life, your attitudes and thought life, your desires, and so on. Let's look at just those two verses, Psalm 24, 3 and 4. Can you read that for us, Chris, please? And Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4, and James 4, 8. And we'll have Hannah. Yes, you'll be sorry I know your name. Can you read James 4, 8 for us? Okay, Chris, whenever you're ready.
Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god.
okay. How do we get closer to God? How do we ascend his mountain and approach him? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not worshipped idols. What do you have, Tanner?
Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded.
Okay, here in the New Testament, draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. But as we draw near to God, we recognize we're drawing near to a holy God. And so we have to allow him to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. And you'll find that throughout the Bible, wherever God called the people to approach him. We heard the other day, sanctify the people. Tomorrow I will appear to them. Let there be cleansing. Let there be, cleansing. That's good. So, and let's turn to Psalm 27, where David uses that expression, one thing have I desired of the Lord. It's interesting. I read this morning that when it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, this is the first time in the Bible where light is used as a metaphor for God. The Lord is my light. God is associated with light, definitely, prior to this. But this metaphor. And then as we get into the New Testament, we read, God is light, and him is no darkness at all. And we're to walk in the light as he is in the light, and so on. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? They believe that David wrote this when he was in exile, before he became king, maybe when he was being hunted down by Saul. They say the Septuagint version of the Bible, in the title, it indicates that, or attributes this psalm to David while he was fleeing from Saul. The Lord's my light. He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Not even Saul, not all his host. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. In what? In the fact that the Lord is my light. He's my salvation. He's my strength. He's my protector, right? One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Praise God. What do you desire of the Lord? A lot of things. To some people, God's like a genie in a bottle. Whenever I have a need, whatever I want, I rub the bottle in prayer and tell him what I want. I visited a church one time, and way back then there was a song entitled, Jesus on the Main Line, Tell Him What You Want. And we sang that over and over again. Jesus is on the phone, tell him what you want. And if you want this, tell him that. And maybe I was misinterpreting how they meant it, but the way it was expressed sounded a little bit presumptuous, as though God was just there to meet our needs and give us what we want. And Jesus found a lot of people that followed him with that attitude. Well, we can get bread when we're hungry for free, and if we're sick, he'll heal us, and if we're dead, he'll raise us up. Let's follow Jesus and tell him what we want. But to find someone that loved Jesus for who he was and somehow awakened to the wonder of Christ and his word, well, that was rare. But God had them, and when the Holy Ghost came, God had more of them. Praise the Lord. And so he says, one thing have I desired. This is the one thing. If I had to let go of everything else and just pursue one desire, this would be it, that I could live in the presence of the Lord, right? When he talks about dwelling in the house of the Lord, he's talking about living in God's presence, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, they didn't have a temple just yet, but they had the tabernacle, or the Ark of God was in a tent, and they referred to that sometimes as the temple prior to the temple being built. That's the idea. Hallelujah. Oh, God, there's only one thing that really matters to me. Take the world, but give me Jesus, we sing. I just want to live in your presence. I want to have you with me all the time. I'm not satisfied to go and visit you once in a while, or even to have you come and visit me from time to time. We read in the Old Testament how the Spirit of God used to come on people at different times, but he didn't remain with them like we see in the life of Jesus. When that dove descended upon Jesus, the Holy Spirit, it remained on him. And of course, Jesus was very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he kept under that touch and lived that way all the time. But then on the day of Pentecost, when the Lord poured out his Spirit and came to live in his believers, now he was with them all the time, just as he's with us all the time. He lives in our hearts. But we're not always conscious of that. We're not always aware of that, because we have divided interests. But God would like to make us people of one thing. Lord, the most important thing in my life is to live in your presence, to sense your nearness, to always be aware that God is with me, and to honor him in all that I do and say. One thing have I desired, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I live in the church. I don't sleep on the pews. I have my own bed and apartment, but our apartment is attached to the church. And so when I walk through the door, I'm in church. When I walk through the door, I'm home. I remember the Bowers used to live in that apartment, the brother and sister Bowers, the previous pastors. And one time, Sister Bowers was sitting on the platform, and she had her apron on, and she forgot to take it off. I guess she had just put dinner into the oven, and she went to church. Sometimes you could smell. Lily always tells me, close the doors, because that smell will get into the church, right, of whatever she's cooking. But, you know, I find that it's not living next to a church building. I like the fact that I can go to church anytime and be quiet before the Lord and pray. But the temple's in my heart, and that's where I need to find Jesus all the time. In Philippians, the Apostle Paul speaks about one thing. This one thing I do. Praise God. Let's turn to it so I don't misquote it. 3:13. Yeah. Why did I write 121? Okay, change that quick. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, that was the good things as well as the bad things, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, God always has more for us, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. Let's all have the same attitude, that there's only one thing. This one thing I do. Forget what happened in the past. Forget your accomplishments, and don't just dwell on those and get caught up with those things or hung up with those things. But move on. Keep reaching out. There's more that God has for you. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's everyone have that same attitude. Amen. Praise God. The Apostle Paul talked about his accomplishments as a Jew before he became a Christian. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he excelled in keeping the law above many his equals, he says. But those things that I took pride in at one time, They're just it's just a pile of rubbish. Didn't do me any good, didn't do anything to bring me into a relationship with God. But then he met Jesus. And so forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things that are ahead, I press. I'm a man of, this is one thing, the one thing that I'm living for, the one thing that I want more than anything else, the one thing that I give my time and attention to above everything else is to know him, to have Christ in his fullness, and to keep pressing forward until Jesus becomes all and in all. Praise God. We need to ask the Lord to purify our hearts. Doesn't mean that you're not interested in other things. If you like to play baseball, that's okay. And if, you know, you play the guitar or other instruments and like music, that's a healthy interest. But our love for Jesus and our desire to live in his presence has to be so great that all these other interests seem like nothing in comparison. It's like when Jesus told us to love. If we're going to love him, if we're going to serve him, we got to hate our father and mother. I thought the Bible told us to love and honor our father and mother. But the idea is your love for Jesus ought to be so great that any other love in comparison is like hate. It's there's no comparison. And it's that way with these interests. Sometimes we have motives, right? Our motives are not pure. We seek God for selfish reasons. And we even fool ourselves. We think that, you know, we're coming with the right motive and with the right reason. But then God shows us. Apostle James said, you ask and don't receive because you're asking God to give you things that you can consume on your own lusts. You're not asking so that God will be glorified and Jesus will be honored, but you're asking so that you can selfishly receive these things. And he says, that's why God doesn't answer. And so we're called to purify our hearts. Lord, cleanse me of sin. Go deeper than that, Lord. Cleanse my motives. In Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said that we need to cleanse ourselves, and we do that by prayer, right? We do that by calling on God and coming to God and humbling ourselves before him. He has to do the cleansing, but we have something to do with it. We have to come. We have to ask. We have to believe. We have to yield. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. I believe it was Hans Bofogel that said, there are a lot of people that cleanse themselves of the flesh. They stop smoking, as we heard last night. And they stop, you know, coughing, cursing. And they stop the things that, you know, they learn to live like a Christian's supposed to live or appear on the outside. And a lot of people do that, right? You look in church. I'm looking at all of you. I mean, you're like the loveliest people on earth, right? I love the Lord. We're here worshiping him every day, right? Living the Christian life before one another. But I can't see your heart. When Sister Bella was talking to us last night, I didn't know what was going on in her home. I didn't know the struggles that were going on in her heart. God does. And so Hans Wolfogel said, you know, cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the spirit. He said, most Christians never get that far. They don't think about that. They don't pursue that inner cleansing. Lord, cleanse. Yes, okay, I stopped smoking. I stopped drinking. I stopped cursing. I stopped stealing pencils from the job or whatever it may be. But Lord, I still have things in my spirit that are unclean and wicked, my thoughts sometimes, my attitudes, my motives, why I do things. That's where I need a deeper cleansing. That's where God wants to make me pure. Psalm 51, David talks about, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You know, David realized that he had sinned outwardly, and that got him into a lot of trouble. But in that Psalm 51, he really gets deep. That's what's so precious about that psalm. He's not just praying, Lord, forgive me because I did this. But he's saying, and Lord, I need you to cleanse me from the very thing that caused me to do this. That get to the bottom of me. Lord, deep in my nature, there's something I need to be delivered from. And Lord, only you can do that. And so you see how David sought purity of heart as well, as he's expressed in some of these psalms. So we just don't want to be content that outwardly I'm doing all the right things, but inwardly, that's where I want to please God. The most important part of my life is the part that only God can see. I like that. The most important part of my life is the part that only God can see. That's my heart. That's when I'm alone. Nobody's watching. That's where I need to please Him. That's where I need to be pure. And it takes time. You have to spend time in God's presence to allow Him to purify your heart. The more you seek Jesus, the more you want Jesus. I've noticed that. The more time you spend with Him, the more precious He becomes. He strengthens that cry in your heart that becomes stronger than every other cry and drowns the others out. Oh, to know you, Jesus, to have you, Jesus. Oh, just to live for your glory. Everything I do, bring glory to God. I'm not here to exalt myself. I'm not here to please myself. The apostle said even Christ pleased not himself, but he lived to please the Father. His heart was pure. His motives were always pure. He was motivated by love. I don't like these Catholic stories when Jesus was a little boy, you know. He used his powers to get what he wanted. The Bible tells us that the first miracle Jesus performed was turning water into wine when he was 30 years old. So I don't know where they get this stuff about Jesus hurting the kids that were bad to him or whatever. Jesus, the interesting thing about the miracles that Jesus performed, they were never self-serving. You know, when the devil told him to turn the stones into bread because you're hungry, he wouldn't use the power of God to satisfy his natural hunger, unless the Father directed him to do so. And it was always for the good of someone else, always for their benefit, always out of compassion to meet the need of those that God brought across his path. And so we have to spend time in God's presence and say, Lord, purify my heart. As I wait here, Lord, put your finger on things that are not pleasing to you, interests that are occupying too much of my time. You know, we have all these interests, and then we have no time for God. We have no time to read the Bible. We have no time to spend time in His presence. We're just so busy. It's like when you're in financial trouble. Well, I just don't have enough money in my credit card. It's just the bills are mounting. So then you talk to a financial advisor. Do you really need to go out twice a week? You know? And do you need to do this? And do you need, you know, what's wrong with the thrift store? You gotta buy designer clothes, and you know, and then you find out, well, there's a lot of things I don't need, you know, that I could get rid of, and I'd be able to meet my financial obligations. And we find that spiritually, too. Spend time with God. God will God, well, you say you have no time for me. Well, why don't you put that phone down once in a while and spend time in my presence? Mrs. Robinson gave a word, and it was something like that, you know, that whenever you have a moment, whenever you have a free moment, don't pick up the phone or don't get alone with God and just sit in his presence. Let him purify your heart. Let his presence come to you. Give him time to work in you. God always honors the time that we give to him, someone else said. And I think that's true, whether it's a few minutes here and there. Sometimes I look at these young mothers and I say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm a man. The Jews pray that way too, but... how busy they are. I feel bad for them. They try to come to church and they want to get something, and then the baby starts crying and they have to go downstairs. And you just, you know, day and night they're on call 24 hours a day. And if the father's doing his part, you know, he doesn't leave it all up to her. But you can't be a mother if you're a father, and vice versa. And mothers are busy. And we go through seasons in life where we're very busy. But, you know, we can find moments if our heart is pure. And we're people of one thing. We can find moments to spend with Jesus. A few moments here, a few moments there. Other times we can spend an hour in his presence and over his word and just enjoy fellowship with him. But God knows what he can expect of you. What he has a right to expect of you, and he'll meet you where you're at. And those few moments that a mother can give throughout the day here and there, God can do more in her in those moments than if she had all the time in the world, I suppose. So anyway, that's what God's after in our lives. Blessed are the pure in heart. Once God purifies our hearts and cleanses our motives and desires, and then we get a sight of the Lord as he really is. We see the beauty of the Lord. Jesus becomes so beautiful to us. We fall in love with him. And then he's the only one that matters. And when I get to know Jesus like that, then every other relationship is enriched. I'll love my wife more and be a better husband if I love Jesus first. You'll be a better whatever you are. It doesn't take away from our relationships. It enriches them when we put God in the place that he desires to be in our lives. And so let's ask the Lord to help us to cleanse our hands, purify our hearts. He has to do it, but we have to pursue him and give him time to work and then believe that he's doing it. You know, as you seek God, you have to believe that he sees and he's answering. If you don't do it in faith, you're not going to get very far. But we have reason to do it in faith because he told us, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And so if that's what God says, as I draw near to him, doing my part, I can be sure God is doing his part. And whether you feel it or not at the moment, you can get up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. You've drawn near to me. And you'll continue to do so. And help me to walk in your ways. Praise God. Amen. So what's a good song to sing about pure in heart? How about Make Me Clean, Oh Make Me Clean. Mine eyes thy holiness have seen. Yeah? I like that one better, George. It says one thing, right? All right. Let's sing that together. Number 36 in the white book.
If clear her vision now impart, grateful and glad, my soul shall be. But yet tonight, of your heart is more to me, is more to me.
God is purifying our hearts while we're here. Praise God. You can't spend this much time in God's presence with an open heart and not have God do his wonders in your life. So let's believe him. Hallelujah. And thank him. Praise God. We want to pray that God will bless the camp today, every camper, every worker, every guest. Some will be going, some will be coming. That's how it is every day, it seems. Oh, hallelujah. But God is over it all. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we commit the camp to you today and all of its guests, all of its campers, all of the workers. Lord, we pray that you'll have your way today. We're only given this day, Lord. And so we want you to show forth your glory today. Oh, let us see your beauty. Lord, open our eyes. Your glory is all around us, Lord. Make us aware and help us to live in it. Keep your hand of protection over us today. We pray that you'll cover us with your precious blood, and we pray that you'll cause seeds that have been planted to begin to take root. Establish your word in the lives of all of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.